Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Johann Sebastian Bach, that greatest of Lutheran church composers, wrote a cantata for this Sunday in the church year. In English, it begins, "Watch ye, pray ye, watch ye, be ye ready, ever ready, till the Lord, the heavens rending, maketh of this earth an ending." What a beautiful little summary of today's gospel. The Lord is coming with destruction for the earth and for most of mankind, which is why we just sang of it as a day of wrath and a dreadful day. But he's also coming with redemption for the few who are counted worthy to escape the destruction. So watch and pray. Pray and watch so that you may be among the blessed ready. But if you've ever watched anything, and by that I mean watching and waiting for something to happen, you know how easy it is to look away when nothing happens for a while. So, to keep us from looking away, to keep us watchful, to keep us praying, the Lord Jesus has filled the world with omens, signs, harbingers of His coming, so that if we ever begin to look away, or fall asleep, or become weighed down with the things of this life, the signs should serve as merciful gifts of God, intended to shake us out of our slumber and jerk our heads back up again, urging us again to watch and pray. Pray and watch. Matthew's gospel mentions all kinds of signs that Luke's gospel omits. Matthew talks about the signs of wars, earthquakes, famines. He says that the love of most will grow cold. He speaks of many false teachers and many false teachings and many people being deceived by them. Christians persecuted, imprisoned, and put to death, and a great falling away from the true church. We see these things happening all around us. And instead of becoming depressed by them or angered by them, let's view them too as fulfillments of Jesus' prophecy, as leaves on the fig tree, as it were, to use Jesus' analogy, urging us to watch and pray, pray and watch, because all these things are signs of Christ's coming. Luke, however, focuses on things that cause fear in the world, especially signs Jesus talks about in the sun, moon, and stars. Now, which things in the skies above are signs of Jesus' coming, and which of them are natural occurrences? Well, it's not really an either-or question, is it? Is the budding of leaves out there on the trees a sign that summer is near? Or is it a natural occurrence? Well, clearly it's both at the same time. And many of those natural occurrences in the heavens have sparked fear and dread in the hearts of men over the ages, from eclipses to sunspots to solar flares to comets to shooting stars to supernovae. And if God has planned other more terrifying events in the heavens to come, we wouldn't really be surprised. God has programmed all sorts of unusual occurrences into the universe, things which may be what we call natural or which may be miraculous. but which are all different enough to cause us to look up and remember, that's right, Jesus is coming soon. I need to watch and pray. Pray and watch. There will be, Jesus says, distress of nations on the earth with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Distress, anxiety, perplexity, confusion. I think those are some pretty good words to describe the state of the nations today, don't you? People are wringing their hands over just about everything these days, from the small things that people say that never used to offend anyone. Now everyone is offended. Now what are we going to do? The things people are saying. There is actual perplexity and confusion in the world today, even about the most obvious things, like what's the difference between a boy and a girl? And are boys supposed to fall in love with girls or with other boys? Or does it matter? Not only that, but everything seems to be a crisis. Every election cycle means doom and gloom and destruction, no matter who gets elected. Every change in the weather is reason to panic. You remember, some of you are old enough that we were just heading into the next ice age a number of years ago, but now the polar ice caps are going to melt and we're all going to drown in a great flood. Everything needs to be fixed, people think. Everything needs to be changed, needs to undergo a fundamental transformation. We need to make progress. But progress toward what? And by what means? Men's hearts failing them, Jesus says, from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Did you hear that the life expectancy of the average American has gone down yet again this last year? The two main causes are drug use and overdose and suicide. Drugs and suicide, two of the most common ways for people to try to escape the despair and the fear that plague them. But everyone seems to know that something is coming, something dreadful, something terrible, something you don't want to be around for. Is it aliens? Is it asteroids? Is it overpopulation? Is it climate change? Is it AI, artificial intelligence, which will take over the world in the next decade? People talk of these things. There are rumors of these things constantly. And yet no one knows what's coming. But everyone's afraid and growing more and more afraid. I should say no one in the unbelieving world knows what's coming, but you know. You know what's coming upon our world. It's called Judgment Day. It's the second and final coming of the Lord Jesus into this world to expose all the wickedness of men, to condemn every deed, every word, every opinion that goes against His word. He has announced His coming. He continues to have it announced throughout the world through His preachers whom He sends. He has even given signs of His coming to keep men watchful and told us the meaning of the signs. But the unbeliever is unbelieving. So it will all come as a great surprise to them when they realize too late that there really is a God and that the word of Christ was true all along. The world will melt in fear and dread at the coming of Christ, as they well should. But He doesn't want that day to be a dreadful day or a fearful day for you, His dear people. Nor does He want you to be surprised by it. What does he say in our gospel? When these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. As long as you are in Christ, as long as you are seeking refuge under the protection of His blood, hunkering down beneath your baptism, as long as you are looking to Him for forgiveness and help and salvation, as long as your faith is being fed and nourished by His means of grace, you are safe. You have His forgiveness. You have nothing to fear on the day of His coming. On the contrary, you have everything to look forward to because finally you will be redeemed from your flesh that torments you and from every enemy that oppresses you. And that's how Jesus wants to keep you safe, covered in His righteousness, justified by faith. He knows that you still have enemies in the world who would remove you from the shelter of His grace, that would entice you to move away from it, step out of it, because that's the only way they can win. No one, Jesus said, can snatch my sheep from my hand. No one can tear you away from Him or separate you from Him, but they can tempt you to leave the safety of Jesus, either by conscious choice or by apathy and atrophy. It's against that that Jesus warns you in today's gospel. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. It's so easy to get caught up in earthly things. Fun, family, pleasures, responsibilities. We have a life here to maintain, after all, and many things to do. It's true. But one of those things to do, the most important thing, which can easily be lost in the shuffle, is to watch and pray. Pray and watch. Have you been doing that regularly? If so, don't stop. If not, why not? Why not? The answer is almost certainly the same answer that the Apostle Paul gave when he knew the good that he ought to do, and yet too often found himself not doing it because evil was right there with him. He knew his sin and weakness. It led him to lament, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Let his answer be your answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Receive His forgiveness again today, all you who mourn over your sins. And take comfort that He has not given up on you, nor will He fail to provide all the signs and warnings you need, both in the world and right here in His Word, to keep you watchful and ready, penitent and believing. He still calls out to you today, watch and pray, pray and watch. Use the means He has given you to stay safe on the day of wrath, so that you are filled with hope and joy as you eagerly await the day of His coming. Amen. And please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.